arms of mine. They are lonely, lonely and feeling blue.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the online exclusive version of This Moment of Music History. Corey and Hank, hello.
Fuck you.
Hello.
You know, as soon as I told them we could swear now, this is what happens. Well, Corey, Hank, go fuck yourselves, and...
And a fuck you, too.
And thanks for nothing, you rat bastards. All right, we've got that out of our systems. We're going to do a bunch of stuff. We're going to continue what we were talking about. I think there's a lot... left unsaid from last hour.
There's a lot of tension.
Wait, are you going to say what you were just talking about?
It's not all potty humor.
You'll never work in You should send this to Duquesne or any school you're applying to.
I should.
So thanks for accepting me.
I mean, I should literally send this to the NPR offices in Washington.
Mm-hmm. And just, well, I can give them if you want. Yeah, absolutely.
You have a connection. Get these to Peter Sagal. Get this to Peter Sagal in Chicago.
Well, I saw, you know, I went to a couple, what the hell is the show called?
Wait, Don't Tell Me, because you are friends with one of the producers.
Yeah, so I went to a couple Wait, Don't Tell Me shows. And, you know, Peter Sagal is an older gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And the show I went to in Baltimore was really curious because all it was him performing auto fellatio for 2 hours.
My God.
And
that is unexpected.
I wondered how that was going to translate to radio.
What was Carl Castle doing?
Watching.
Oh, okay.
Masturbating.
Right, of course. Of course he was. Makes perfect sense to me.
Yep, so... Well, sums it all up.
I'm literally going to have to hide this from my mother when I post it on Facebook. I'm going to have to go into my privacy settings and block this from any family members listening to this. Or teachers, or professional acquaintances. I'm fine with it.
Carl Sagan performing auto fellatio is nothing that you need to be worried about.
Carl Sagan. Oh, goodness.
The mysteries of the universe.
Whoever saw him outliving Hawking? Whoever saw that coming? Or Hawkins outliving him? You know.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
There's just a paraplegic joke. God, get off my back.
Come on, keep them coming, Rick. Keep the paraplegic jokes coming.
Oh.
Every time you guys have said coming a lot. Just to let you know.
It made me very uncomfortable when I said it out loud.
Did you hear it? It was just like
I'm not a prudish person, but I just I find that word to be just awkward to say.
Coming?
Yeah, I don't.
How else would you put it then?
I don't know. I mean, I just try to avoid it at all costs.
The end game?
The end game. I refer to it as the end game. End gaming.
Oh, God, baby, it's time for the end game.
Yeah, it really creeps out my girlfriend.
Oh, baby, countdown, it's end game.
Oh, Jesus.
Then you put on the Beckett play when you're done.
Yeah, then I literally perform end game in its entirety. It's just actually...
Remember like the Daisy commercial with the little girl picking the Daisy and then the nuclear explosion goes off?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
End game. Yeah.
Please,
maybe you should just delete this.
I don't know.
Yeah, you should probably delete this and burn this.
And burn it. We'll see. We might skip.
Even though it's purely digital, you should burn it.
Well, I think this is a good time to do the tiebreaker.
Do you want to do that?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so yeah. If you're listening in hour one, it's tied up. It's tied up. And I will say this off the bat. This is a very difficult game. This is an extremely difficult game. We've played it 5 or 6 times on the show with different lineups, and I think maybe 2 correct answers. I mean, so we're at like a 30% success rate. So don't get down on yourselves if you don't do as well as you thought you might, because it's tricky. And I should say I got this idea from Doug Benson, who's a comedian in Los Angeles, has a podcast called Doug Loves Movies, and he does this with like minor celebrities and comedians and things, and they're not much better. They are not much better, so you're in good company. But
well, let's continue.
Yeah, so we've done 20 years ago today, the Sgt. Pepper category. We've done the graphic novel category.
Graphic novel, yeah.
Although there are movies left in there, so I'm going to say these are all up for grabs. Superhero, okay. Major League Baseball, graphic novel, in theaters now, Sergeant Pepper, exclamation point, washed up hitman.
I want to do another Sergeant Pepper.
You want to do one of those? Okay. And we've got plenty to choose from. These are going to be films from 1992, the golden age of cinema, really. Oh, wait, if you could only see the movies I have here. I'm going to pick one for us. I'm going to pick one for us just because there are too many and I really can't find a way to break it up. How about, I'm afraid this will be too difficult to guess, but we're going to do it. Okay. This is from 1992. 1.5 stars again. So Leonard, not impressed. 8 names. And a PG rating. I'll tell you a PG rating.
Oh.
Okay, there is... it's a duo who erase crime from the streets of L.A. It's a one-joke setup that very quickly wears thin. And one of the characters, meant to be funny, comes off as thoroughly obnoxious. Very short description from Leonard, so I almost read you the entire one that's not going to give away anything. 92, 1.5 stars, erasing crime from the streets of L.A., one-joke comedy, quickly wears thin, and one of the performances quickly becomes obnoxious.
Oh, Waxworks, Corey.
8 names. And now, if I recall correctly, Hank, you won last round, so you can open the bidding. You have 8 names.
Okay, I'll do half of that. I'll cut my I'll do five.
Okay, 5 names. 5 names. Corey.
I'll do the same.
You have to either go lower or tell Hank to name that movie.
Oh, look, 4.
4 names, really?
Oh, I'll say name that movie.
All right, Corey, you get 4 names, and these are going to be the most bizarre names.
Great.
So again, 92, 1.5 stars, crime fighting in L.A., obnoxious characters, one joke premise. Ving Rhames, Dennis Berkley, Gaylord Starton, Sertain, Martin Ferrero.
That's 4.
That's 4.
So this is on me, right?
Yep, you have to guess.
Yeah, it's hard. This is
hard without the top 2 leads. Ving Rhames might be a good hint, although I barely remember him in this movie.
All right, I'm having a feeling it might be a George Clooney movie.
Mm-hmm. That's not an agreement. That is just acknowledging your comment.
And I'm gonna. Is it? Okay, so you said it's a duo, though, right?
1992. I'll read.
Don't be looking at
Erasing Crime from the Streets of L.A. The duo, yes, they erase crime from the streets of L.A. It's a one-joke premise, which quickly wears thin. One of the characters quickly becomes obnoxious while trying to be funny.
Race, crime, Cool world. There's a race, you know, sort of like the...
Sure.
Oh,
Hank, not really your turn to guess, Hank.
Although 92 would fit. But I don't remember Ving Rhames in Cool World.
I mean, Hank said it. That's on the record. So if you want to guess Cool World, Corey, but that's your prerogative. But you do have to guess quickly. Anything?
It's not really a duo.
I am going to have
It could be, though. It's Brad Pitt and Kim Basinger.
Is that your guess?
But she was kind of a bad guy.
Not my guess.
All right. Let's go with Money Talks. Oh, wait, no. Oh, no. Rush Hour.
1992.
92?
All right, neither of those are correct.
What is it?
I will reveal the top 3 names. Jo Beth Williams. This will give it away. Estelle Getty and Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Oh,
I hate you both. I
hate you both so much.
What? You tell me what's wrong with what is wrong with that movie.
No, I'm not. It could have been that one too with Burt Reynolds and that kid. What was that one called? Cop and a Half.
Toy.
It could have been. I don't know if that was
Cop 92. And a Half, you're right.
Yeah, but I mean, I just find it surprising that Leonard Maltin says that Getty's character, meant to be funny, comes off as thoroughly obnoxious.
I mean, she's an old hag screaming the whole movie.
I guess, you know, the character, yeah, he's talking about the character. I thought he was talking about her performance.
I still remember the cover of that, too. I still remember
the
cover.
She's like holding this huge magnum.
Yeah, she has like 357 magnum.
Exactly, she's holding a magnum.
And he has like a snub-nosed 22.
Yeah, and she's carrying a magnum. That is absolutely ain't into that.
So that's how you do that. Technically, we're at 2-1, and Hank is pulled ahead. Maybe we have time to do more later on if you guys are interested.
Okay, whatever.
Or we can bust it out right now. I mean, is there any good? I mean, do you have something pressing, a pressing topic that needs to be discussed?
We?
No. I watched Misery for the first time.
Oh, did you? The first time. Huh?
I've never seen it before.
Wow.
What did you think?
It was okay, you know.
Mr. Man.
Yeah.
But I thought she could have been creepier, actually. I actually think she was too obvious for the role. Like, just right. this kind of...
Would have been better as Bill Getty?
Yeah. No, I think actually it would have been better if they would have reworked it a little bit and she would have been more attractive. So there would have been kind of weird sexual tension. Instead, it was just Kathy Bates lumbering around talking about James being a dirty bird.
You are.
Being Anastasia
I kind of like that.
You're both dirty birds.
You're a dirty bird. Dirty birdie.
Mr. Man.
I just thought he was good in it. He was really, because he really played it straight, and he didn't say a lot. So
Gene Hackman could have been good in that role. All joking aside.
I think he really would have.
Well, I think James Caan and Gene Hackman are cut from the same mold in a lot of ways.
James Caan
has a lot more of those leading man sort of looks. Not that he's necessarily had like the career to back that up, but Gene Hackman being more of an everyman. But I think they're both of that same work ethic and seeming like they would be tough guys.
His performance was really the best part of the movie, I think, was his performance, because he didn't have to say a lot. You picked up all these cues from him, like when because he was trying to play her the whole movie. And
the sheriff, the guy who he's famous, he killed himself after a straight story, that kind of kindly old man who plays the sheriff.
He killed himself? I didn't know that.
After David Lynch's A Straight Story, he blew his brains out. He had bone cancer.
Jesus.
This is good. This is funny, haha, Hank.
That's funny, haha. That's not funny, like broadcast it's kooky. Funny. It's kooky
but,
funny.
But
I should lighten up the mood a bit.
But anyway, the most interesting part of the movie to me was just the fact that a lot was going on without him saying it.
That's true.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
And I think they could even play that up more. And then the ending really sucked. How he killed her. He hit her with that pig thing. That was so stupid. And it went from that to that scene where he was in the restaurant and that woman comes up and it's her. And then it ended abruptly. The ending was the worst part about it.
One of the better Stephen King adaptations, though. It really is. I mean, this is coming from the guy who just watched Sometimes They Come Back, so I know what I'm talking about here.
Well, in the sequel, of course, Sometimes They Come Back for More, or is it again?
Sometimes They Come Back for More again. That's the third one.
Is that the one that they're in Antarctica?
Yes. Yeah, I think it's like the military in Antarctica.
Greaser Ghosts in Antarctica. That was a tagline.
Greasers?
That wasn't really the tagline, but that's what it was.
They're like
was
teddy like boys?
The movie was like these greasers come back from this thing and haunt people or whatever and attack them with a car. But I just don't get how that translates to Antarctica.
You know, that's the problem I have with a lot of Stephen King's work, is that some of it can be really brilliant and on an epic scale and incorporate all of those, like the classic gothic horror elements, you know, drawing heavily from Poe and Lovecraft, and really well done in a contemporary way that I think in his voice really epitomizes. But some of it's just awful, like a car that kills people or a cell phone that kills people.
That was one of his newer ones. So that was
cell phone.
Granted, but I mean,
genius.
But even the car one, I don't even remember the name of it. It's how dumb.
Christine.
What a dumb thing.
I have never read Christine, but the movie adaptation is really good. John Carpenter directs it. It's a classic. It's really good. I highly recommend you.
But the premise is stupid. That's what Rick said.
I think the premise
is idiotic.
The execution might be fine, but yeah, I don't know. There's nothing. Like, the appeal of a haunted car does not hit me the same way as, like, Salem's Lot or something, you know, where it has that paranormal aspect. But I mean, that's my personal taste, also.
But what I noticed a lot about Stephen King...
Didn't you, Corey, you say that you watched the TV adaptation of The Stand and it was just, like, atrocious?
Oh, it's awful.
Oh, it was terrible.
Yeah.
It was the graphics in it were horrifying.
And I watched that for the first time right when it came out to VHS, and it was, like, four VHS tapes. I like Gary Sinise, but it's just...
It was supposed to be this huge classic movie, at least in my mind.
I revisited it.
And then I watched it, and there was one scene...
It does not hold up.
It's like this... It's like he's supposed, the main guy who's supposed to be the devil.
Yeah, the man in black.
In a cornfield and his eyes are growing red.
Randall Flagg,
that's correct.
It literally looked like a fun house. Like something like out of the Wacky Shack in Erie, PA.
Well, you know, it was, God, it was 19...
Now, let's talk, that's like 93 or 4.
Yeah, I would say 3 or 4.
But I wanted to bring something up real quick, Hank. How about those? How many movies? I can only think of two, but there might be more. Where in Stephen King movies, where a kindly old man comes to save them and is just immediately killed,
butchered.
In The Shining.
Oh, Scatman Crothers' death is one of the classics of all cinema. Yeah. I would say.
Just an axe right through him right away.
No, that's not the best part. He travels from Florida, like the southern. Like he's in like Miami. He takes a flight to Denver, and then he has to go by car. He rents, like, a snowmobile.
Right.
And he literally goes through spending his own personal money just to save the Torrance family within the first 10 seconds of being in the house, axe in the back.
Well, that's the same thing in Cujo. You know, like, kind of a friend of the family of the woman finally uses all this, like, deductive reasoning to figure out where she is. Finally manages to figure out in this little New England town where her car is abandoned. The whole movie is him doing this. He finally gets there and he's just in seconds ripped apart by a rabid dog.
Okay, so there is three right away. Because then in Misery, there's the old guy you're talking about, goes to that. He does all this detective work.
Mm-hmm.
Puts together like a whole case.
Goes
to the woman's house and is just shot in the back with a shotgun immediately.
Yeah. In the book, it's even more gruesome. It's longer. Like, he gets there towards the end of the book. He finally gets there, and she's on a riding lodge floor. She just keeps backing up over him.
Jesus. Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's a staple of Mr. King right there.
Is there another one? Can you guys think of one more?
I'm trying to think. I've read a good amount of his stuff lately, but it's all been...
The old man in Shawshank doesn't really fit. Because he just offs himself, but he didn't come to save anyone.
Yes.
Right.
Hmm. What about some other Needful Things? Is there a kindly old man there?
There's a character in the Dark Tower series. He actually is. He's the Father Callahan from Salem's Lot. He has a role where he does a lot of work just to be killed off within like the span of one novel. So.
Okay, four.
That's a pretty good one. The Dark Half.
Oh, where it's the writer and...
The writer. It's directed by Romero, George A. Romero. It's not great, but it has its moments. The first scene is pretty good, the first couple scenes.
Now, how about this? Have you guys been keeping up at all with Ron Howard's his efforts to produce the Dark Tower series by Stephen King?
I only look at Clint Howard.
Okay.
So I don't know anything about him.
Fair enough.
I'm only interested in Clint Howard,
Fair
Ice Cream
enough.
Man. And...
Yeah.
Well, they have to win for Ice Cream Man, too.
Well, just as a bit of self-indulgence, because I recently just read all those. They went to Universal. They weren't going to give them the money they wanted. So it's going to actually be on HBO. which I think is a really cool place to make that, because it's like an eight-book
arc. Yeah, it's probably even better.
Yeah, it's going to be even better because they're going to split it up. It's going to be like a transmedia thing where they have a series that covers like X amount of ground, and they have a film, and then they have a comic book series. So it's all that.
It's going to be a transgender thing or just a transmedia thing?
It'll be transmedia in that in the respects I mentioned, and also transgender that Ron Howard will chop off his own cock upon completion of the film.
At the end of the finale.
It's just a live shot. It's going to be a live shot on HBO of Ron Howard drunk, presumably on drugs, and just...
Herzog eating his shoe, only with Ron Howard cutting off his...
Yeah, like Herzog eating his shoe, right?
Yep.
All right, I get it.
It makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah,
Bob Weinstein bet Ron Howard that if he has to chop off his own cock,
that is correct.
If he makes this movie, and lo and behold, he did. His cock is coming off.
I thought you just said that he was dead, and I was like, what?
It's the price you pay
for beauty.
That's the price you pay for beauty. Yep.
What do you want, Malcolm? What do you want?
We should get who's Malcolm?
Say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, hey, Malcolm.
Hi. Hello, Malcolm.
You should not be listening to this conversation. Well, Hank, that was hilarious. We were off air for a second, and you asked, how's Malcolm, or where's Malcolm? And Corey just said, who the fuck is Malcolm?
Well, Corey, Malcolm's been in the bathtub for a long time. You might want to go check on him.
Oh, he's fine.
He's really clean.
He's playing Aquaman.
He's a clean boy. Clean boy. Clean boy.
I still find it amazing that one of us is responsible for a human life.
No, it used to just be me in charge of Corey, and I did a fine job. I'm so proud of the job that I've done.
You raised him well.
But now you've washed your hands of me.
Corey's a fine young man.
Yes.
I've worked so hard.
Thank you, Daddy. Thank you.
Oh. Made him into the...
Oh, that's good.
I made
creepy.
Him into the perverted
Do you want it to get creepier, Daddy?
No, please, no.
I made him into the degraded man-child that he is today.
I'm sure Corey. That... The
good thing you asked us to come on your show, Rick.
Oh, well, you're welcome.
I'm saying come.
Hmm?
Oh, come.
Yeah, please, it makes me uncomfortable. Come again. It makes me really uncomfortable. Please say Death Wish.
Ejaculate. Thank God you asked us to ejaculate on your show.
Is it wrong right now that I'm naked eating a banana? Or is that...
I was on the toilet the whole duration of the show.
You know, am I the only one that actually, like, is dressed and at, like, in public?
No, you literally might be the only one who's dressed.
Well.
Yeah.
If I weren't in the studio right now, you can bet your money.
You're not dressed?
I would. No. My time here is short, and I mean at Ball State. I'm graduating in May, so we're going to have to find a way to do this without me.
I thought you said you're dying.
No.
I thought you said you're dying
because I have cancer.
Probably, but who cares? I don't know.
Because I thought you were saying you were only wearing a little short, like a skinny tie. That's it.
Yep, I'm just wearing a very long tie right now.
I do have a robe tie on, even though I'm naked.
Nice.
Yeah, thanks.
Nice, that's classy.
It's on
by the way. I have.
It is on. It's on your package.
By the way, cancer.
Hey.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
Gosh, what was I gonna say? A film. I don't think Hank. What did I? Oh, I just think I just had a stroke. Oh my god.
Corey, how are you retinas, Corey?
Is Corey there?
Corey. Hold on a second. I'm doing the juice.
Let me put them back in.
I'm trying to find my eyes. Where are they? Where are they? Malcolm, where are my eyes at? Oh, they're in my head. Okay.
They're looking.
Let's get him. I mean, he seems like he's on top of stuff. He should probably...
Yeah, he's more cool than me. I said, where's my eyes? He pointed at my eyes, you know?
Hey,
simple answers.
Here's what I wanted to ask you guys. Are you watching? Because now there's a ton of really good television on in the last 4 or 5 years. Have you guys caught any particular shows? No?
Did you just say no right away?
I don't even have a television.
I mean, I
watch Portlandia. I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm. I like it too.
And And Breaking Bad's a great show.
Oh, yeah, I've seen Breaking Bad, yeah.
The Wire, The Sopranos.
Oh, The Wire, I love, yeah.
Yeah, can we all, I think the three of us can agree that The Wire is probably the best television show.
I don't watch much television, but I do love The Wire, yeah.
Well, and that's the thing now. I mean, the way we consume television is no longer in a serialized manner. You know, you can sit down and literally watch an entire series in the span of a month. And you're talking about a 60-hour plot arc for The Wire. It's incredible. You don't get that sort of depth in anything. You don't get it in literature. You don't get it in film.
Oh.
It's the only place.
Especially if you don't have to leave your house and you don't have any responsibilities.
Oh, my God, that's the best.
I was really into Boardwalk Empire, too, till the last episode. I don't know if you follow that show.
I do, and we should say this is a spoiler alert for Boardwalk Empire.
Okay.
If you don't want to hear about it, you should turn off your radio or plug your ears right now. But yeah, I can't. I mean, one of the main.
What the fuck was that?
The main characters dies.
And he was the best character in the show.
No, he was probably the most dynamic. And I mean, Steve Buscemi's great. He doesn't die. It's not Steve Buscemi. But yeah, it's a
Michael
very
Pitt's
interesting.
Character.
Yeah. It's a very interesting way to.
It drove me. I can't think of a time I was more depressed about a character dying than, say, like R.P. McMurphy in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Right, right.
I was just miserable. I was literally beside myself. I couldn't believe it.
Hmm.
And I just, but I guess a lot of people said he was an asshole and that.
In real life?
Yeah, and like, I don't think they liked working with him, so they just killed him off.
I mean, that happens probably more than you would think.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite examples of that is, it was Homicide, Life on the Streets. They killed off
I've never actually watched that.
Oh, it's great. I mean, if you like...
That's the guy who wrote The Wire.
It is. It's
Simon, right?
Yeah. If you like his stuff, I would revisit Homicide, because it's probably...
Bad, yeah. Had Cotto in it, didn't it?
Yes, it did. He was like the chief or something, who had not acted with that much radiance since... what is it? Live and Let Die?
Where is Yacek Kodo? Is he dead?
I don't know. I think he's still around. He might. He actually might have passed away. That wouldn't surprise me. But he was great.
You never
as...
see him in anything.
Oh, him and Hector Elizondo are hanging out somewhere.
Where are they? They're on the island.
No, there's all these like, well, not famous, but all these actors from the 80s and 90s.
Sure, character actors.
They just are gone. It's just gone. They just, no one casts them anymore. Because they don't make the kind of movies where these guys fit into.
That's true.
You know?
That is true.
There's just,
some character actors became like mainstream. Like Gary Oldman was sort of just like a character actor.
He was like character actor for art house stuff.
Sleaze. He was in some good Sleaze. Romeo.
He was in good, but good Sleaze was like kind of hip then.
Did you say he was in Romeo and Juliet?
No, he was in Romeo is Bleeding. It's a really low budget. Well, yeah, it's pretty low budget. Well, Roy Schneider's in it.
Of course he
is.
Which
is awesome. And it's like a kind of a femme fatale, seedy, bloody as hell, noir, neo-noir type movie. Right? Mm-hmm. The whole thing is filled with smoke. It always looks foggy and hazy.
But the 80s blockbusters verged on Sleaze. Some of the action flicks...
Yeah.
And those type of movies, those like mainstream Sleaze with like saxophone playing and grizzled, you know, detectives, that's over. No
sure.
one makes those movies anymore.
Yeah, yeah. What do you call that?
Noir?
Yeah, but like post-noir or neo-noir.
Yeah, those are done. They're not, because I think that Drive was kind of like that.
Drive, I didn't see that. Is that good?
Drive was revisited, kind of the 90s noir. Yeah, it was good. It was just like 90s noir.
We talked about it on the program with my other two guys, and I loved the film, and I just bought it, actually.
It's pretty good.
I think a lot of people get confused, and you're talking about mainstream audiences, and I'm not saying that in a derogatory way, but I think you guys know what I mean. They go to it expecting it to be an action movie, you know, like a car chase movie in a lot of ways, like a French Connection or something.
You know?
Right, no, it's
stupid.
True, but it is nothing like, it's a Western, in my opinion.
I can see that, but I think I see elements of like Michael Mann, like kind of the slick way.
Absolutely. I think there's a Michael Mann influence.
Stylized.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, that scene with the helicopter, that's one of my favorite scenes in the movie. When the helicopter is, looking for him driving in the very beginning, it just looks so good, and it reminded me so much of like a Michael Mann type movie, look of it.
Absolutely. The aesthetic is very reminiscent of that, but I think the plot and the character, it's totally Western. It's a mixture of, I'm thinking of Eastwood's character and like High Plains Drifter and that stuff.
The
Man with No Name, right. And then also as far as plot is concerned, it's very reminiscent of Shane.
That's what I was just going to say. Mm-hmm. The ending is Shane.
It is Shane. Yeah, exactly. I mean, he drives off and you don't know what happens, but
Shane though implies more. Shane implies that he does die.
Yeah, because he falls off and he fall off the horse?
This movie doesn't, but it is essentially the ending was Shane. I mean, and then I can see the Western too, because when he goes out in the parking lot with Albert Brooks, it's sort of like a shootout.
Albert Brooks is great. He should have been nominated for a Best Supporting Actor.
I disagree with that. I mean, I see where you're coming from, but I don't know if you know this, but Albert Brooks got all offended he wasn't nominated. And I don't know. He really wasn't that dynamic in it to me. He was just,
His performance.
He was good.
His dramatic performance is never super dynamic. I mean, he's a comedian and brilliant in that respect.
The scene in it that I liked of him was the scene with his loser friend that can't get anything together.
Mm-hmm.
And when he slices his wrist.
Yeah.
That scene's good.
It is great.
Because it's real. It's kind of weirdly kind. He's like, it's okay.
Yes. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Okay. This will all be over in a minute. Mm-hmm. It's okay. That's a good scene with him.
Yeah, I agree. Hank, you should give it a shot. I'd like to know what your opinion is.
Can you get that on Netflix?
Probably not. No, but
no, you can't. You won't be able to see it for a while unless you order it on Netflix.
Yeah,
stream it.
Yeah, you can't stream it. That's what I should say. You can probably get it if you do the. Do you still do the exchange thing, either of you?
Yeah, I do the exchange thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. But Malcolm just orders like 100 cartoons, and they just come to my door. Because he knows how to use it. So he'll go on there and he'll order movies, and I'll get like Barney and Friends and Thomas the Train and all this crap.
Oh, that's terrible.
You know? Well, not for him. He's delighted.
He really is the brains of the operation there, isn't he?
I'm going to have to cut this short, guys.
Oh, yeah?
I have a few things. Yeah.
You're a dirty son of a bitch.
You're a dirty bird.
That's fine.
I'm a dirty bird.
No, we got an extra half hour of bonus footage.
It can never be used.
I'm going to cut out a little bit of it. But
all right, well.
It has been a pleasure.
You just want to call it a day then?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, that was fun. That was good.
Hank, you are, as of today, the reigning Len Maltin champ, but it's only 2-1.
Only by the luck that it didn't come back to me. But we'll see. If you had gotten more names, if you had done Eastwood and Estelle Getty, or not Eastwood, Stallone and Estelle Getty, we definitely would have known it was Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Yeah, of course you would. We'll talk about scheduling another one, but do you guys want to come back on sometime?
Yeah, definitely. That sounds great.
All right, so you can listen for Hank and Corey on the official TMMH, and then also we might have some more bonus footage and material for you. So, gentlemen, thank you for being on.
Thank you.
And
thank you, baby.
You know, since we opened up with a little Otis Redding, I think we're going to close it out the same way. This is a little ditty. Goes out to the both of you boys. It's I got dreams to remember.
Baby,
I do.
Thank you for being on. And stay on the line. We'll wrap up. And listeners, thanks for doing this exclusive online presentation of TMMH. You can hear the actual show Wednesdays from 8 to 10 on WCRD. That's 91.3 FM. Listen live online at WCRD.net. And you can get all of the archived material, including bonus stuff, online at thismomentofmusichistory.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Honey, I saw you there last night. Another man's arms holding you tight. Nobody knows what I feel inside. All I know, I walked away and cried. I've got dreams to remember.
just a friend. But I saw him kiss you again and again. These eyes of mine, they don't fool.